From the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 9, I'll begin reading today with verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I stand before you today, a handyman in training. There's a lot of room for improvement. I'm not the most technically inclined when it comes to home improvement. No amens, Monier Luke. In fact, I can break things much better than I can put them back together. But yesterday, I did gain an extra star in my crown in the eyes of my wife because I got her lawnmower running. I got it running. When there was nowhere else to turn, when we were hopeless and thought our grass would continue to grow unchecked, I was the handyman on a mission. I embraced the need for repair. I fixed what was broken. I healed what was sick. Well, I may be giving myself a little bit too much credit there, right? But I did the job when it was in need. And you know what it did? It made me feel good about myself. Can you tell this morning? You know, such is the response when we do a worthy deed, right? When we embrace something that's broken, or perhaps someone, there's a joy. There's a satisfaction in serving and living outside of the self. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago in a sermon that was titled "The Cost of Discipleship." And here it seems today, as we embrace this reading of Scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, we're reminded once more that there is a cost in following Jesus. That's the word that we hear repeated a couple of times early in our text. Jesus says this to Matthew. He says, "Follow me." And then, in case we miss it, the very next verse, it says to us that Matthew indeed did follow Jesus. But you know, as we read further and we understand more about the life and the historical background of Matthew, we know that his following Jesus was more than just getting up and walking after Jesus. No, there was a change for Matthew. There was a cost for Matthew. In other words, he had to give up some things to embrace walking with Jesus. As a tax collector in that first century, Matthew would have been a very wealthy person. And here in this call by Jesus for him to follow, Matthew was giving up, friends, so much. His livelihood, his trade. Imagine if you were Robert Goosby here at the prime of your life. Robert's in the prime of his life. And if all of a sudden Robert had to take on a whole new profession, forgetting everything he knew about building roads and moving dirt, and do something new. Wow. Sharon said, "Can't be done." Wouldn't that be intimidating? And wouldn't it take a certain motivation from on high to be willing to do that? And such was the call of Matthew. He left what he knew, his comfort zone, his expertise, his livelihood, to embrace a walk with Jesus. Friends, that wouldn't be easy, right? There is a cost to following Jesus. And it's more than just walking behind him. It's embracing his nature. When I think of that word cost and we reflect on what it means, I'm reflecting on that in some ways as an acronym. Certainly we think of the cost and we understand that we lose something. But the second letter of that word cost is the O, and that reminds me that paying the cost of walking with Jesus also involves others. Not only do we give up something for ourselves, but we embrace something in those around us. What does it mean to embrace something in those around us or live for the other? You know, I told you the analogy of working on the lawnmower yesterday. Let me go a little deeper. I want to brag on myself some more. Can I do that? The problem was this. First, it had fuel. We knew that. It was good. Secondly, the spark plug was working. We found that to be good. I did get a little shock out of that deal. But the problem was this. The air filter was clogged and filthy, and the mower couldn't breathe. If we can't breathe, we can't live, right? Whether we're a lawnmower or a person that's a child of God, we need air to function, to live. And we clean that filter out, probably should have replaced it. We clean that filter out, and after a few hard pulls on that mower, it came to life again. Now, what happened in that process? I saw something that was sick. And truly, I didn't give life to the mower, right? It had to have air to breathe. The air didn't come from me. The air came from on high. Just as God breathes life into us. But it was me. It was my meager efforts that at least gave the mower a chance to come to life again, right? Because I got involved. I brought it to the air. There was a role for me to play in its restoration. Could it be that's what Jesus is trying to say to us today as he spoke of Matthew following him and embracing the others? You know, that's what Matthew did. He didn't just have a cost in himself, but he started living his faith for others. Our scripture tells us that he had a banquet that very day. It was in Matthew's home. Luke, the gospel writer, explains that to us. Matthew is so humble, he doesn't even tell us that he's the one who hosted the feast. But Matthew hosted the feast. And you know who came? It was the O. It was the others. Matthew, in a way far greater than me bringing restoration to my lawnmower, Matthew saw the problem. Like a lawnmower that couldn't come to life and couldn't start, Matthew saw friends that were in a perilous state, needing to breathe, needing life. And he brought them to the source of life. He was the channel. In a way far greater than me giving air to that mower, Matthew brought them, his friends, to the giver of life. You see, friends, that's what we do when we follow Jesus. Not only do we walk behind him, but we embrace the world around us. We take them to Jesus. And perhaps even more importantly, we take Jesus to them. That's what it means. To embrace the other around us. To be, as Matthew says here today, the true great physician, as he quotes Jesus. When he said, I came to serve the sick. You know, I visited with Hollis and Ann in the hospital this week. And Hollis said, I'd gotten so bad I needed some relief. And he said, I finally went to Dr. Elliott's clinic Monday morning, showed up bright and early, saw Dr. Elliott even in the parking lot, was ready to get a full exam right there in the parking lot. But Doc said, Hollis, I'm going to be right with you. But first, I'm sorry, I've got about 3 patients waiting on me over at the hospital, right? He went where people were sick. He went where they were counting on, where people were yearning to be restored. Friends, that's what we do. We embody the physician's nature of Jesus. And we bring healing. We bring mercy. We bring love where there's brokenness. That's what it means to embrace the other around us. But you know, the third letter of that word cost, it begins with the word S. And that reminds me that not only do we go to the other, but this is what we do. And this is challenging, y'all. We serve the other. We don't just introduce them to Jesus in what we say. As the church, it's not just about talking about our faith, right? But sometimes, even more importantly than talking about our faith, we do something with our faith. Wow, we have such a church of doers. Me and Lynn talk about this quite often, or Lynn and I talk about this quite often in our church. We have a group of humble servants that are continually working for others. Norris has been working on this sanctuary. Benton just finished improving our Greg Center over here with our steps. Jody and Lauren are going to host our chicken cooking here in a few weeks. Lauren didn't know that. What are they doing? They're serving. They're following Jesus. And you know what's tricky? Here's the part that's going to press on us a little bit today. Jesus in his nature, in his grace, friends, hear this with me. You know who he served most of all? Those who were least likely to be served. Those who were often overlooked, unworthy. Jesus reached out to them. And to us, even at our most broken state. Isn't that what we prayed today? Did you hear that word of declaration of forgiveness this morning? It's from Romans 5, and it says these eloquent words. When we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for who? Not the perfect, not the godly. Not the folks that are always in church on Sunday. No, Christ died for the ungodly. Wow. It says to me that Christ came to me just as Matthew, who was one of the chief of all sinners, who made his living taking advantage for others. Jesus came to Matthew, restored Matthew, and it inspired Matthew to do what? To restore those around him. To serve the world in need. You know, Luke Hill and I came over yesterday to Ripley, and we went over to the People's Bank 50-day celebration. And then we eased over and perused around First Monday just a little bit. You know what? You see some different folks if you ever go to First Monday. Did y'all know that? You get a variety of people there. And I've got to, can I be honest in the pulpit? Is that okay? Some of those folks you see there, you just wouldn't want to hang out with and invite out to dinner. I'm just being honest. You may not invite those people to dinner. But you know what? I saw my friend Keith Thurman while I was riding around there. I was walking around. He was riding around in a golf cart on First Monday. And man, Keith Thurman, he was grinning from ear to ear. That place was packed. There were people there, and he was happy. He was proud to see every one of them. We know why, right? Those of us that know Keith, we know he owns First Monday. We know that he benefits from those people. We know that he looked at those who might be considered the less than desirables. Let's be honest here, okay? He saw them as something else. You know what Keith saw them as? His customers. Those who he was willing to serve. You see, that's what we do in business, right? We understand it economically that we serve those who help us, who provide food for us, who provide for our journey. We serve, we cater to them when they're our customers, right? Well, friends, our call to faith says to us as the church, that is us, we are the church. It says that we're to serve the world out there in a way far greater than customers, because you know who they are? They're even more precious to us than they are the Keith Thurmans in business, because not only are those out there customers, they are children of the Most High God. They're made in His image. They're made to be loved. So we embody the spirit of Matthew, and we bring those who the world rejects. That's what we do as the church. We invite the truck drivers in on Christmas Eve. We invite those that the world overlooks, and we treat them as though they're our customers, because they are beautiful in the eyes of God. Friends, if you want to grow a church, if we truly want to embody being the church, we keep serving one another. And as we serve one another, we also serve those around us, our community, and the world. Now, why would we do all of this? That's the rub. That's the question. We certainly don't do all of this work to receive life from Christ. We, as good Presbyterians, understand and believe and embrace that salvation comes not in our work. Salvation comes only in the grace and gift of life given by Jesus Christ. But we do the work to respond to what we've been given. And here's what else, friends. The last letter of cost is this. The T. There is a treasure when we serve in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. When we embrace the cost of our faith, there is a treasure. There is a benefit. There is a reward in heaven that we don't earn, but we grow in even now in this life when we embody the nature of our Lord. Let's say it this way. Later today, the Mississippi State women are going to play in a basketball game. And just the other night, two nights ago, the smallest lady on the court, one of the smallest women in all of basketball, made the winning shot. 5'5", and they say she isn't even that tall. A little lady named Morgan William. And I've got to ask you, how in this world could the smallest person on the court make the biggest shot of the night? How could that be? You see, it couldn't be without hard work. When you study the life of Morgan William, you know that she spent hours and years training and practicing and embodying the cost to become a college athlete. And in the process, she received what Jenna and Cole and Clay and Luke and many of us athletes have tasted when we embody the cost we too know the treasure, the joy of victory, living outside of ourselves for the team and the greater good. Could our faith be that simple as well? Is that the call that Jesus is calling us to, church? To embrace the cost and know the joy of serving Him and our world to His glory. Amen.